Thank you, our hosts, Jimmy and Joan and Don, too, for so much that you do for poetry. It's just fantastic. And Pittsburgh's fantastic. And thank you, my fellow guests. Just to prove that poems don't have to be autobiographical, and I wouldn't want you to think that some of my poems are autobiographical, even if they may be, I'm going to read a poem in a man's voice. It's a particular man. A friend died just before Christmas, and in fact, she died December 22nd at home after a really ravaging illness. She was much younger than I, too. And this is in the voice of her husband, who is speaking to their dog. The longest night. Most of our first year we grew in the dark until, pitched into light, we drew harsh breath. If evening brings us rest, that's our good luck. Our mothers kept us safe from daily shock, warm in their lightless seas. Until our birth, most of our first year, we grew in the dark. Why should I fear the night that means no work? The creche under the tree, the front door wreath, say, evening brings you rest. That's our good luck. Lie down, loved dog. Don't wake her with a bark. Tomorrow, though light fails, we'll venture forth. Most of this year, we've grown into the dark. I'll lie down, too. Sleep with us. She may wake for one last day. Dark, cover me like half the earth. If evening brings me rest, that's my good luck. If I could find one star to pierce the murk, she cools. Give her your warmth, your breath. Most of this year we've grown dark, dark, dark. If evening brings us rest, that's our good luck. Well, thank you. Thank you. And here's a mean poem. Thumb on the Scale. And one of the things that the Squirrel Hill Poets did for me is remind me that it's thumb on the scale, not thumb in the scale, which I seem inclined to say. Thumb on the scale. Overnight, yellow-green pollen covered my car like a Rose Bowl float. I drove it to Home Depot, wandered among bedding plants, chose. In the parking lot, a man with bad teeth came close, took out a handkerchief. I don't want to see you drive it like this, wiped part of the roof. I gave him 2 quarters. He quit, complained, I've been here since 4:30 a.m. trying to make $4. Haven't eaten in 3 days. I didn't buy him pizza or make him a sandwich and drive back, which would have said, I believed your hustle, wouldn't have fed your real hungers. In truth, I forgot him. A frantic buzz draws me out of the house. Starlings, noisy young, solicit care. One bird has found a dumpster, emerges to fill a yellow gape. My black cat is out. When his eyes watch a rabbit or robin, I shut him in the house. Now I don't call him in. Okay. And this is Irish Guy at the Coffee Tree, which is a real coffee shop. It's an imaginary frog in a real garden. No, it isn't really imaginary. Okay. Irish Guy at the Coffee Tree. Oh, there's a word in this, cothurnus, which some of you may know. It's the high platform shoe that tragedians, Greek tragedians, wore to give them stature, right? Black brows over bedroom eyes, dark stubble on cheeks at 4 o'clock, clean line shaved at your white nape. I recognize you, handsome, your type, trouble. No laptop, no book, just giving your cup of joe a deep look. Handsome is as handsome does. Lost father, lover, are you phoning someone or postponing the first drink of the day? Your loneliness pulls me as I think it pulled my great-grandmother, my aunt, my son's mother-in-law, and yes, the blue eyes. There was Johnny Ryan and Johnny O'Brien, John Dwyer and John Burke, a line of dark horses, pieces of work, soldiers of misfortune. One took to the road and one to drink, one killed on the rails, one went for a soldier and came back bent. Finished now, you pick up your phone, struggle out of the tall chair, bend to the floor to get a cane. I see one of your sandals is high-built, a cothurnus, your injury possibly lifelong. Forgive my severity, pierced foot. I hope you are going to an interview, a date, some new luck, not to chronic disappointment or chthonic appointment with fate. Thank you, Jim. All right, I have to admit, I had a hip replacement a few months ago, and this one is called Line of Beauty. The young doctor took off the dressing, said with feeling, "It's beautiful." 3 days after surgery, my incision straight, already healing. He left me undressed. 12 days after surgery, my PCP looked, said, "It's beautiful." Explained, if you've ever seen orthopedic surgery, it's brute force. I've submitted to the knife before, legs stripped, womb taken, a chunk of bad back punished for harboring promiscuous cells. This is a new thrill, an insertion. Maybe I'll get a bikini for exhibition of my best part, the surgeon's art. I won't count on it, with sutures still in. An infection can spell ruin or looseness about some prohibition. Crossing my legs, bending too far. Now it's a thin red line. In the future, I'll make it a scar. Okay. Two more. Two husband poems. Reading Du Fu while my husband is in China. A hummingbird has already visited the garden. Like your wife, I observe the change in seasons and must prepare my husband's clothes. Tomorrow there will be an eclipse of the sun. He may see it in the morning, our son in the evening, I not at all. I don't worry that he won't return. He will ride Dragonair to Hong Kong. We exchange email daily. Last night, I tied 5 bundles of prunings, carried them in my arms to the curb, medieval surf gathering fuel. Your wife beat the laundry against a stone. You imagined her wishing the beat of her club would travel across your separation. My husband visited your thatched cottage. Does the river still bend there? Is the air sweet? Okay, and again, now for something completely different. This poem was actually published in a little shopping magazine called The Strip, because I happened to have written it just before this guy asked for poetry for about this trip. I mean, and Ann Curran has published in the same little mag. My husband buys cheese at Pennsylvania Macaroni Company. My favorite, semi-soft, split by a layer of ash, not mold. Melting indulgence, penance, melting again. At our wedding, he smashed a flash bulb instead of the traditional glass, while uncles shouted encouragements, traditionally crass. Even the name Morbier smacks of death. Maybe it's Basque. The aisle that leads to the altar is lined with crash. Volcanic soils are fertile, so after eruptions, people repeople the slippery scree. Weddings were about repeopling then, the community-approved means of production. Kauai was paradise, though damaged by aniki. An old discursive cookbook says, "What a friend we have in cheeses." I think we'll go together till the end. Morbier is edible, even to the rind. Thank you.